Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of My Webtoon Journey. This is a bi-weekly podcast, or at least it's supposed to be. In theory, it's a bi-weekly podcast where I introduce a brand new webtoon each episode and just kind of give you some general information about it and some impressions. I try to avoid any major spoilers. It's just really enough to pique your interest in the series. And also, it's kind of like an introduction to the series to myself as well, because as the title of the podcast suggests, this is my webtoon journey. It's my foray into webtoon, a world that I'm kind of unfamiliar with, coming from the manga side of things, despite how popular the webtoon app is and just the sheer volume of series available on it. I've never really delved very deep into it. So this is kind of like my way to do that and also just kind of bring others along. If you're a veteran reader of the app or of the medium, then you just kind of get to listen to someone talk about some of your favorite webtoons for a few. Or if you're just brand new and you're looking for a new series, that's also another reason why I do these, so that you can kind of get a taste of what it's about and hopefully check it out after the episode's over. So this is this episode again is on Unholy Blood. And it's a supernatural drama created by Lena M, or I'm, and assisted by Jung Hyun Kim and Yen. And I'm sorry if I butchered any of those names between like the full Korean names and then like the unique pen names. I'm probably going to mess up a lot, and I apologize if I'm saying it wrong. Feel free to correct me, because I would like to actually learn how to pronounce some of these names so that I can not make the same mistake in the future. So this is a Korean webtoon, and it's been running since October 2020, and it's ongoing with chapters releasing every Monday and Thursday. And as of this recording, it has 764,000 readers, and it has a score of 9.87. And again, a lot of these webtoons skew pretty high in score. I actually haven't seen many that have dipped below a 9. In terms of Unholy Blood, it looks like in terms of popularity, it's up there for sure. Not as big as some of the other webtoon I've covered, but just as popular as most of them. And I've read up to chapter 10 or 11, I believe. I actually forgot to write it down. But I got about halfway through of what's available on the app so far. And the synopsis is, when vampires destroy her chance to have a normal life she's always wanted, Hyun is forced to draw on her darkest secret to rid the world of merciless hunters that took it over 10 years ago. With the support of a rising star in the local police force, Hyun steps up to protect her loved ones, face her past, and get her revenge. And that's actually a really, really good synopsis. I will say that based on what I've read so far, which is about half of what's available again, is kind of actually setting up to what this synopsis is talking about. It's a lot of build up, a lot of background, just to kind of get the ball rolling. I'm realizing this now, actually, after coming back to my notes and reading the synopsis again, having read, about 10 chapters or so. That's actually pretty interesting. So, it's kind of, I guess the synopsis in a way is kind of a spoiler. You know, it's what it's going to become. So apologies if you didn't really want to know, or if you didn't read or were purposely avoiding the synopsis. But yeah, I just realized I can see the stuff kind of falling into place where it's going to get to the point that the synopsis is talking about. And even in the first chapter, it's like a flash forward to the future. So, things are going to get kind of crazy right off the bat. But these opening chapters definitely are just like a lot of like set dressing or I'm sorry, table setting. I don't know if that those phrases mean the same thing, but anyways, so we open on this very bleak world where vampires, there's a lot of tension in the air, a lot of fear. People are living in this world where vampires who disguise themselves among the humans have been killing humans, behind the scenes. And the government hasn't really been able to do much about the issue, and the issue seems to be escalating. But people still have to go on about their lives. So it's like it's kind of a weird place, because you can't stay locked up in your homes. You kind of have to keep doing what you're doing, but meanwhile you're living in this world of like paranoia. So it's a very scary world to live in, never knowing if you're going to be the next victim of a vampire attack, and. It follows Hyun, and it's this this college girl. It's kind of just building on her backstory. She grew up in an orphanage run by a Catholic church. She kind of her memories of her past are kind of fuzzy. She can only remember past a certain age, but as long as she can remember, she was living in this this orphanage. And she plays a sort of like older sister role. She has like two younger siblings there that she kind of plays a big sister role to them. And it's in like a kind of a rundown area of the neighborhood. Apparently, there are some rich like businessmen or like thugs that are trying to kind of move in. I think they're trying to get the priest that's there to sign off on something so that they can kind of move their businesses and stuff like that. Something shady going on. I don't understand the exactly what's going on, but the priest keeps pushing them away. You learn why that is later. But again, Hayeon is just starting college. She's kind of a loner, but through the power of alcohol, she's actually able to make some friends at a social gathering. And it's in the scene that we see there's actually a system in place, a curfew, which is basically just like this large, just loud blaring siren that tells people to go home. I think it goes off at like midnight, which, after all, and that's when the vampires make their move is at night. And it's definitely a cool snippet of world building. I think it is kind of odd how late that curfew is, though, because I feel like really the curfew should be sundown. I don't think any businesses or anything should be open after sundown. Like, it doesn't, probably an hour before sundown, if anything, just to give people time to go home and just kind of lock up their houses, I guess. Instead, it kind of happens at midnight, which is kind of awkward. People are still, despite the fear, people still kind of go out and just do their thing, go out to bars and stuff like that. Which, you would think, oh, it's not realistic, but then, not to get political, but then you see COVID and see how people are still willing to put themselves and others in danger by going out and having social gatherings. So it's not too far off, in terms of realism. Despite vampires, the possibility of them popping up at any minute, there's still some, irresponsible college kids who just want to go out and have a good time and get drunk at midnight and try to stumble home. And you kind of see the consequences of that in this story for sure. I think it's pretty realistic. this darkest secret that the synopsis is talking about is actually Hayeon's vampire form, which again isn't a spoiler because you see it right in the epilogue of the webtoon. Prologue chapter. And I think Han was like really pretty to begin with, but like in her vampire form, it's just absolutely stunning. It's just, it's like mostly like mild, like cosmetic differences. She looks, like more feral and stuff, but her hair turns white and her eyes change color and her pupils, change. And like she grows like these black nails and stuff like that. But like, I don't know. Vampires are, they're attractive. I'm sure you guys already knew that. If you like, sexy vampires, you're gonna get a lot of that in this webtoon for sure. excuse me. But in this form, and with vampires in general, she has like, a lot, you've seen this in other mediums or in other media, but she has like improved physical abilities, just pretty standard fare for vampires. Sun is still their enemy, of course, or daylight, whatever, but Hayeon seems to be special in this case. She's able to like kind of take on a human form during the day. And I think it's established is that vampires can actually function in daylight, but like their powers are reduced, if I have that correctly. So I thought at first Hayeon was special and she just kind of can revert to her human form and be able to function throughout society during the day. But I think any vampire can actually function in daylight. They just can't use their heightened vampire abilities. So I think it's kind of confusing because there's definitely scenes I've seen where vampires were doing their thing and like the sun was like setting, but it was still daylight. So I'm not sure. But garlic crosses, stuff like that don't work. Any of that, kind of cliche stuff like that doesn't work. They have regeneration. They can't eat human food. Only just, they can drink beverages and blood. very similar to a manga called Tokyo Ghoul, where they could only like drink like coffee or whatever, but they still had to rely on drinking blood or whatever, and eating, you know, meat, human meat, of course. So Heian's form is actually pretty cool. It activates kind of like if you've watched like Naruto or something, it kind of activates when she's in danger or like this heightened state of emotion, and similar to how Naruto was like Nine-Tail Fox mode. And she doesn't seem to have like full control of like turning it on and off, and she has to rely on this this special crown of thorns, which we get background for later, but it kind of like helps, I guess, ease her emotion and kind of turn her back to normal before things get out of hand. And there's, you know, there's definitely some obvious religious imagery going on there. I'm not sure exactly why the crown does a trick. I mean, I know there's definitely some sentimentality to it that you learn later. But it seems to be something that kind of helps trigger reverting back into her human form. And again, I've seen this set up with these vampires in society, or human turned vampires, or like human vampire hybrids or whatever. I've definitely seen that in manga like Tokyo Ghoul, Parasite the Maxim. And like those series, I expected this series to kind of explore the conundrum of being like a human turned vampire and some of the difficulties of that. But since Heian can suppress her vampire form, she kind of gets off a little easy in comparison to those stories. Though later it does delve into that. It just doesn't do it right away. And, you know, I'm going to get into that shortly, actually. But they do provide examples of like other vampires turned human. And so far, those people, it doesn't really go about learning about their struggle. It's more like these are just really crappy people, and they use their newfound power for just evil. So, you know, there's more cartoonishly evil people in that aspect. You know, the really just like scum of society that are taking advantage of these vampire abilities. But it seemed like they were already bad people to begin with. But I will say that, you know, without getting into I'm sorry, I skipped some of my notes. But yeah, So there are definitely slightly more charismatic villains that are introduced later. So you don't always deal with like the, you know, just like these are just really despicable people. I mean, they're still despicable people, but at least like there's some villains later that at least are a little more interesting when they're on the page. You know, they're not like cartoonishly mustache twirlingly just evil. And I think that's, you know, that definitely ramps the writing quality up, especially in the, I'd say I read up to like chapter 10 or whatever, but like it's towards like chapter 6, 7 and beyond, like when things started to really ramp up, and I'm like, wow, this story is actually really, really interesting. And this writer really knows how to handle their characters and like their backgrounds and their relationships. Heian is, she's pretty special in the vampire world. You don't learn right away what the full details are about what she is, so there's definitely some bit of mystery there, but she's bad news for whoever activates her form. And, you know, naturally we start to learn more about her, but and the details actually about what she is actually really cool. And there seems to be a, on the other side of things, there seems to be a group of vampires recruiting. And this is in relation to, I think this is in relation to Heian, but you're not sure what those vampires' goal is. And without getting into specific spoilers, we do actually start to learn that. And it turns out there's like a bit of a vampire hierarchy. So that's an interesting aspect of, you know, world building with these vampires. And certain vampires do not share all of the same qualities or abilities that other vampires do. So really interesting in that aspect. I do like how police, they're trying to investigate these vampires, but they're kind of, you know, while the vampires themselves that have been committing some of these acts are, you know, they're pretty bad about cleaning up after themselves. They just kind of leave their victims on the street, and then, you know, if they were a little less sloppy about it, they probably could have kept, you know, human awareness of their kind to a minimum. But because it's become so prevalent, all these sloppy killings, it is interesting how elusive they still, you know, remain to be. Like, but police have a hard time tracking them down, and they're still doing a pretty good job about keeping their identities a secret. So another thing actually is that when a vampire is killed, and it does establish how a vampire can be killed, but I won't spoil it. Their bodies fade away, so police can't even use their bodies in their investigations. And it makes it kind of tricky, so you can understand why they've been having trouble so far. Again, it's establishing that, you know, it's the realism. It's like, well, man, I feel like if this was an actual issue, they'd be taking this more seriously. You know, they'd be really cracking down on this. And you can kind of see why they're struggling. And the story does throw in an interesting wrench into things when it introduces Captain Huang, which is, he's like this vampire hunting detective. And he's like kind of young. He's like a prodigy in the police force. He's got a photogenic memory. He's super perceptive and has like a really high arrest rate. And he takes an interest in Han for a few reasons. Clearly has a motive. I'm not going to spoil it. Though I will say that with him being with the police and her being, you know, a vampire hybrid or whatever, there's some obvious tension there, which I thought was, you know, it was good for some like engaging reading. I definitely was flipping the screen up once he was introduced. I was like, okay, how's this going to play out? I'm actually really curious. And honestly, I was kind of feeling a little bit iffy about the webtoon before, until like Huang came into the picture, really, because I really like him. He's got like a cool charm about him. And then after his introduction, it's just like the story just starts to kind of pop off. You get more examples of like people's fear and the paranoia of living in this community with vampires, and then how like some people will take like extreme measures, which of course puts pressure on Han, and then you start to feel more for like her you start to fear more for her safety and like her identity, the protection of her identity. And then it also dips into just Han's like kind of like internal feelings, her character in general. Just kind of she's witnessing this like hatred and this animosity that the people feel towards her kind. And she starts to ponder whether she even belongs in this world. And we realize that what she really yearns for is just a normal life as a human. And but because of what she is, it's just impossible. And then later we learn more about her, the priest that serves as her guardian. And he turns out to have a super, like, just fun backstory. There's definitely a few, like, emotional plot threads going on with him, and just a bunch of plot threads in general that didn't exist right away at the start of the story. So yeah, things just really started to grow on me. Again, the priest, I think his name was Father Michael, he just super interesting character, but you don't actually see him right away. You don't get much from him right away, so I'm glad as soon as I started feeling a little iffy, like, you know, that's when Huang came along, that's when Father Michael came along, and yeah, it really starts to suck me into the story. And you get a little bit more from like Han's younger siblings, so it's kind of establishing this familial relationship she has with them. And then there's like a running gag where like the siblings talk like they're wise beyond their years, and it's just really adorable. I hope to see more from them. Again, this is supposed to become a revenge story, and I'm seeing the seeds being planted for that. I just hope nothing happens, you know, to these little kids. But yeah, the main appeal here is that Han is a vampire and she's just living in this world that just seems so against her. And she's also attracted the attention of some really dangerous people. So you're fearing for the safety of her and her family. And that's like the main dilemma at first. And while it's being executed, you know, later on than I initially hoped. It definitely warmed me up to the story as I got to learn more about the characters and the feelings and their relationships with each other. But yeah, if you're feeling kind of like how I did at first, where it's like, okay, we're getting a little introduction to this world. Okay, seems pretty cool. Art's really nice. I would say read up to like chapter 10 and see how you feel after that. Or I think it's chapter 11. There's like a really major event that happens, and that just basically hooked me, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna pause this so I can record my episode. I'm definitely getting back to this. And honestly, like, I had the same dilemma with some other of the series I covered, like Midnight Poppyland. That was my first episode. I've gone back to all the series that I've been covering just to kind of read more, and I actually start to like Midnight Poppyland more. And I initially thought maybe it's just not me, maybe I'm not the right demographic. But I think if you're not feeling something, you just kind of have to spend more time with it and with those characters. And then suddenly at some point it will click for you. So I'm going to actually try to get in the future, I'm going to try to get a larger reading sample of each webcomic so that I can get like a better impression of what it's really going for, you know. So these episodes might be slightly longer as a result, as this one probably is. Let me check. Okay, yeah. So it's getting a little longer than some of the other ones. But you know, I think that'll make for some better listening experience, a better listening experience. So yeah, that's actually going to cover it for Unholy Blood. I almost forgot what it was called. I was gonna say Unholy Land. I really dig it. Again, I didn't talk too much about the art, but it's the vampire super attractive. There's some really intense action that I did not expect from this series. Just like some really the vampires, when they kind of like pop off, they're kind of scary. Like they should be. Like, you know, it's not, they're definitely vampires, you kind of has that sexy vampire vibe, but like when they are angry or when they're ready to like attack someone, they're actually kind of terrifying, as they should be. So yeah, the art does a really good job of like displaying that and just like the power that they possess, you know. Really just really exciting action that I did not expect, especially in these more recent chapters that I ended at. So yeah, really, I'm digging it. I'm really digging it, guys. So next episode, I think I had mentioned this before, at the end of my episode on the boxer. I said I was considering doing Plum, and I was gonna do it this episode, but I got distracted. I don't know if I mentioned that at the beginning of this episode, but yeah, I got distracted. So next episode is gonna be on Plum, which is a sports series by someone that goes by Sam Keymart, which is you know, kind of another interesting pen name, I'm guessing. And it's a sports series, but it's actually really weird for a sports series. It's kind of unconventional, but I'll get more into it on that episode. So be on the lookout for that. And I'm going to do like I always do and just plug my manga podcast if you're interested in it. I just did an episode on Shinobi Life. So it's about a time traveling ninja, and he falls in love with like a rich girl from the present day. And it's you know, it's actually a really, really good romance shoujo story. So if you're interested in that, go ahead and check it out. And that's gonna call it for this episode. I hope you guys had a wonderful holiday, and let's hope we have a good new year as well. Because we definitely could use one. Yeah, thank you guys for listening, and tune in next time for the episode on Plum.